Hello and welcome to the Rugby Analyst Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Muddy. This week we're joined by Alan Walsh and John Buckley of the IRFU. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Great to be here.
So, Alan, where are you from and where's home now?
Originally, I'm from Castlebar in County Mayo, a small town in the west of Ireland, just north of Galway City. And now I live in a small village in Dublin, seaside village called Donabate. So it's just north County Dublin.
Cool. And John, where are you from?
So I'm from Kildare. It's just outside Dublin. And then I still live here. So in a small kind of town, about 30 minutes outside of Dublin, called Leixlip.
Great. And then, so Alan, how did you get to your current position with the IRFU?
Yeah, I started studying mathematics and education in college, and kind of from there went into teaching. And while I was teaching, I helped out in the school I was teaching, coaching a bit of rugby. And one of the teachers knew performance analyst in Connacht Rugby at the time, Conor McPhillips. And he kind of put us in touch. So I went in and met with Conor and kind of discussed the possibility of a role. And things moved pretty quickly from there, and kind of we agreed that I'd jump on board for a year and do an internship. And then was at Connacht Rugby for a year, which learned a lot. Pat Lamb was coaching there at the time, so it was a great experience for me as someone who just started off in the professional game, I guess. And from there then I moved to Cardiff to study the Masters in Cardiff Met in performance analysis. And luckily enough, when I was there, I started working with the Dragons as a placement that coincided alongside my studies. So I was with the Dragons and the WRU for a year before getting a call to come home and start working with the Irish Sevens, which is where I'm at now and have been for the last over 4 years.
Great. So you're Irish Sevens, but then you also work with the women's team?
Yeah. So the way our high performance unit is set up is it's kind of split in two in the sense of the way we manage it. So Johnny looks after one side and then I'd look after the other, which is both Sevens teams and the Irish Women's 15s teams. But we've three or four analysts who work across the Sevens and 15s, the Women's 15s. So there's a team of us there. So it's a lot more than just me.
Yeah. And then Johnny, how about yourself?
Yeah, so I started in analysis by going out to Carton House where the Irish rugby team train. So I helped out Rala, their Irish kidman, in 2011 before the Rugby World Cup. And during that time, I got talking to Mervyn Murphy and Owen Toolan. And they kind of showed me, let's say, what analysis was and what they were doing with the team. And from there, then I kind of knew that it was something I wanted to get into. So then for college, I had to do a work placement. So Mervyn suggested that I spoke to Emmett Farrell in Leinster. So I went and met Emmett after a game in Leinster one day and kind of explained to him my situation, told him what I was trying to do. And then when the placement kind of allocations came up in college, I got one with Leinster. So I think having that connection with Emmett definitely helped. So I did a couple of weeks over the summer on the domestic side. And then near the end of my placement, I got to go over and work with Emmett and Evan, who was there at the time. And then I got to stay on then for kind of the year after in my final year of college as an intern, helping them out remotely. And then literally right place, right time, Evan was leaving and then that created a job and I was there and then I got it. So I started with Leinster then and was there for 5.5 years and basically learned everything I know as an analyst from there with Emmett. And then an opportunity came up a year and a half ago, or nearly 2 years ago now, with the Irish under-20s. So I went for that, and I got it, and I'm here at the moment. So I'm in the IRFU just over a year and a half now.
Cool. So do you do anything other than the U20s, or is that your primary role?
So it varies at different stages of the year. So the kind of key areas that I'd work with are age grade rugby, so 18s, 19s, and 20s. The referees, and then kind of a few other bits then as well with like our coding center and AIL footage and things like that. So they'd be my main areas.
How is working with the referees?
It's brilliant. I love it. It's very interesting because, let's say, when I was at Leinster, we would have spent a lot of time analysing referees, and then working with them and seeing it from that side of things, it kind of gives you a different perspective on what their job is and how they do it. It's unbelievable the amount of work that they put in, like over this kind of last couple of months, the work that they've put in from a video point of view is like unbelievable, and it's a credit to them the amount of work that they have put in. So I really like working with the referees. It's very interesting, and then it also helps me then as a 20s analyst, because I'm kind of seeing it how the referee would see it. It then helps me then relay that to the players and the coaches on the 20s, so that that can kind of help us, let's say, prepare for what referee will be refereeing us as well.
Okay, yeah. Alan, so what's your favorite level of rugby to watch?
I guess I like watching all levels of rugby. It's hard to identify one that stands out as a favourite. I'd be a fan of watching different levels at the same time. So like different parts of the week, be watching AIL, a bit of Sevens, Pro 14, or the Champions Cup on the weekends, or Super Rugby when I can, or any of them internationals when they come. Even schoolboy rugby, watching bits of that, just to see the passion they play with. It's you can't help but put a smile on your face. So it's enjoyable watching that. If I was pushed for an answer between, I'd probably say either schoolboy or AIL, just because all other levels of rugby I'm kind of watching with my work hat on, so I can kind of switch off and just enjoy it a bit. Especially schoolboy stuff, so I kind of enjoy that.
And what's AIL?
AIL is the All Ireland League here in Ireland, so it's just the clubs, the club league in Ireland.
Oh, cool. And Johnny, how about yourself?
Yeah, it's similar to what Alan was saying. So, like, obviously, watching senior international or senior provincial games, it's brilliant. Like, and being at them is excellent and all of that. But since I started working on the 18s, 19s, and 20s group, I've kind of started liking watching those games as, let's say, without an analysis hat on as well. Because when you look back at some of the under 20s games in Six Nations over the last 2 years, not just Irish teams but other teams as well, they've been fantastic games. And the same with the Junior World Cup last year out in Argentina. Like, there was a couple of games that I watched after I came back, just purely because they were such good games and such good standard rugby. So I'd say kind of 18s, 19s, 20s would be my favourite at the moment.
And as an analyst, are you guys watching these matches from a selecting standpoint, or are you watching them to pick up different trends in the game, or kind of like, what are you focusing on?
Both, I think. Like, you're always, when you go to an AIL game or a schoolboy game, and you kind of, you're just there first of all to enjoy the rugby and watch it. But if certain players stand out, or you see certain moves or whatever, you always take it back with you. I think you can't go wrong just watching more and more rugby. So like, it wouldn't be my intention all the time. Sometimes it is. But you always spot things, and then you bring it back into the office, and you can get access to the footage and show the clips to coaches and stuff. And player ID can come from it. But mainly a lot of that AIL and kind of schoolboy, I just go to watch to enjoy, really.
Great. And so how closely have you guys been watching Super Rugby?
Yeah, I've been watching it. Obviously, it was the first bit of rugby back, so I definitely watched the first three rounds, like minute to minute. I didn't watch it live now, because you can't spend the whole week watching rugby. But had it recorded and watched it back and kind of just watched the ball and play and stuff. It's been great just having rugby back on the TV, and hopefully now soon, later this month, we'll get some Irish games back as well and Pro 14 games, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, next week, right? Are you guys ready for it?
Yeah, very
good.
Great. Great. So to get into kind of the hard work of being analysts, and I'm curious to learn a little bit more about from a sevens perspective, though. You know, what are some of the statistics that you guys are analyzing for your teams?
From a sevens point of view, it's very similar to the 15s game. Like, the core skills of rugby are still the same, like your tackling, carries, breakdown work, etc., etc. But there's a whole range of data we collect that we code ourselves, and then we have a third party provider as well that we get data from. So we have opposition data as well. But it's really wide ranging. So we really try and put an emphasis on what our coaches and what our players want. Kind of fits what our needs for it really. But as I said, it's basics of the game, and then we focus in on certain KPIs depending on game opposition, etc., etc.
Cool. And Johnny, what are you guys working on?
Yeah, so it'd be similar to most rugby 15, like 15s teams, I'd say. Like pre-game, we're obviously looking at it from a team and an individual point of view. So, like, we'd be looking in great detail at set piece, so what teams are doing, and how they launch off those set pieces. We'd look at how teams score, so where are scores coming from for certain teams, what's their kicking game like, how teams defend then off set pieces, or how they defend in phase play. Like, that list could go on, but they're kind of the main ones. We pretty much try and cover off everything we can, but then, like, the key for us then, I suppose, is that we don't want to overload our players with too much information either. So, like myself and the coach and staff, we'd kind of analyse it in great depth pre-game, and then the coaches then would relay the key information to the players then. So, like, the players might not get every stat that we produce, but they'd get the key ones then based on the game plan that we're going to have going into the game.
Great. So what software are you guys utilising?
We use a product called Huddle Sports Code, the lead version of it. We use it across all our teams in the RFU. And I've always used it myself personally. And it fits our needs perfectly. We are constantly looking at other softwares as well that's out there to try and see what we can improve on bits like that. But mainly Huddle Sports Code, and then you'd use data visualization software as well, such as Tableau and Excel and numbers and all them bits. They're industry standard nearly now at this stage, especially in rugby.
Yeah, Tableau seems to be coming up a lot. How has that been to use?
We're really at the start of our Tableau journey, really, and Johnny, you can jump in as well here. But in the sevens game, it's been really impactful live as we go from tournament to tournament. So the way the World Series is set up is obviously you'd have your back-to-back weekends, and in between that, you'd have a whole host of the data that you need to manage and quickly kind of filter through. So it's been great to just create bespoke dashboards to kind of quickly get a glance of what that data is saying, and we can build it in a certain way that our coaches use it quite frequently. So it's been great from that point of view, and helping my workload as the analyst, and all the analysts back home as well, working with the sevens teams.
Yeah, from my end, Tableau's, it's brilliant. It's kind of new for me anyway. Well, it has been over the last, let's say, 2 years. So it's taken a bit of getting used to, but now we're up and running with it, and we use it for our age grade teams and then the referees as well. So over the kind of lockdown period, we've spent a lot of time building Tableau dashboards for the referees to use pre-game going into referee so that they can see the key stats on the two teams that they're going to referee. So that's implemented at the moment. So it'll be the first week of it next week. So hoping that goes well. And then from an age grade point of view, we have a Tableau dashboard set up. So that kind of compares players across the provinces so that the provinces get access to it as well, so that they can see where their players are going, how they're going against other players in similar positions. But then also from a national point of view, we're able to see what players are performing better than others in certain positions, which then helps with selection for those teams at 18s, 19s and 20s.
Cool. So in what ways did statistics impact your coaching?
That's a good question, Chris. I guess in the sense we use it a lot, it's in the sevens side of the game to confirm and challenge what we see. So looking at it from like the video point of view or watching it live, coaches draw their own conclusions, and we use the kind of stats to confirm and challenge that. And then also we look at it from the other way then as well, look at it solely from the data and then use the video to confirm and challenge what insights we're seeing from that point of view. They are important to us, but a lot of it goes back to what the coaches are seeing and kind of how we can build on that.
Yeah, like Alan says, I think having the video is so important. If you have a stat and say to a player that, like, oh, you missed three tackles in that game, like, they mightn't believe you, they might kind of just fob it off or something, but if you have the video to back the stat up, that's crucial, because not only will the player be able to learn then from his mistake or from why he missed the tackle, but it'll also then make him better the next day as well. So I think having video to back up the stats makes the coaching a lot better.
Great, yeah. And then in what way do stats impact decision making on the field, such as penalties or when you guys are looking at ratios? Like, how much do stats impact decision making on the field?
Yeah, they definitely do. Like pre-game, you could be analysing a team and see that in a certain area of the pitch that maybe they throw to the front of the line out a lot more than they would in other areas of the pitch. So then, like, that will definitely kind of influence how you set up defensive lineouts then based on that. But if you're to flip it around then, if you were analysing an opposition and see that maybe their drive defence isn't that great, if you get a penalty on the halfway line, you might think, having that stat in the back of your head might mean then that you're a bit more inclined to kick for the corner to then hopefully win your own line out and then hopefully drive against them. And then based on the stat, then you'd kind of assume that you're going to get a positive outcome. So it definitely does impact decision making on the pitch, but I don't think it can come down to stats either, because when a player is in the game, I'd say feel comes down to it quite a lot as well, as in they'll know kind of how the game is going and like kind of what the opposition are actually like rather than what a stat told them during the week. So I don't think it can decide or be the deciding factor in what to do on the pitch, but it can definitely help make the decision.
Yeah, it's interesting in the sevens game because it's obviously only 14 minutes long with a 2-minute halftime. So quite often we're on the radio to the coach just with one stat that he can maybe say. Now, they don't always look for it, but our coaches would wire up to us and kind of ask us for maybe a turnover count or a possession count, and then they can use that to reinforce their own messaging. So, it definitely does have an impact.
Great, and I guess that brings up, what are you typically focused on during the match?
The 7 series is quite different to a normal 15s kind of game, where obviously in 15s, as Johnny is set up there, he's up in the stands with all his coaches. That's not the case in 7s. The coaches are on the sideline, and the analysts are in. There's a analyst room in the stadium somewhere, usually in the back corner in the dark and under the shaft. But all the analysts from all the teams sit in that room and basically record the footage, code the footage live, and then send the information and footage to their teams and players and coaches throughout the tournament. So in a sevens tournament, you're trying to cover a lot of bases at the one time because you've three games in a day. So live, you're focused on your own team's performance. Little areas that we might have talked about leading into the game or a review of the previous game, and just certain information that you can give back to your coaches and players. And then when we're not playing, you're reviewing and previewing other opposition. So there are two or three busy days. But when you see it make an impact, it's worth it.
What about you, Johnny? What are you typically focused on during the match?
So during the game, I'd be up with the coaches. I suppose, first of all, our main job is to make sure that the coaches have the footage in front of them or stats in front of them, so that they can review if they need to review. Then after, once that's all in place and up and running, then I suppose my next role would be to keep an eye out for anything in the game that we see that is, let's say, different from a picture that we would have scouted in the lead up to the game, and then highlight that to the coach if necessary. I'm also taking in the ref mic as well, so I'd be listening to what the referee is saying and also listening to try and hear other chat on the pitch that I can then relay back to the coaches if I think that they need to hear it.
Cool. Great. So then how often do you guys send out film to your players? And what exactly are you sending?
It depends on the time of the week or what part of the season you're in. With sevens, it kind of runs in a monthly kind of cycle where you might have your live in tournament and then you're constantly sending footage to the players and certain kind of KPIs or whatever that they can use to review their performance. And then when we come back, the players get couple of days off where and we go in a little bit more depth of the performance, so we wouldn't send as much to the players during that period, but then when they come back in we have a big team review and then that kicks it off again, and then it gets into training, and then usually we upload every session, every training session to our online share, and players have access to that and they can clip and code everything themselves as they see it. So that's been a big help to us, and it's not only us then clipping and coding footage, it's the players doing it as well, and kind of closes the circle, that feedback circle, which our players and coaches have seemed to enjoy the last couple of years.
Yeah, so like from my end, I wouldn't actually really send out footage to the players, because when they're not in camp with us, then they're back in the provinces. So each province has their own academy analysts. So Jim, Brian, Owen and Gordon are the guys who are providing those players with the analysis support all year round. So they're the ones who'd be, let's say, sending the guys footage or kind of doing analysis with them on a weekly basis. And then when they come into camp, then they're fully up to speed on what analysis software we're using, how the analysis process works, and things like that. So my role wouldn't really be to send out footage to players on a weekly basis or anything like that. It's more when they come into camp, then like there'd be the analysis set up and everything would be on the laptops, and then everything would be on our huddle page then that they'd be able to have access to, but we wouldn't put anything on that while the players are back in their provinces.
Great. Quarantine's almost over, or at least Pro 14 is getting back to play. So what have you guys been doing during this time to help your teams improve?
When quarantine came, or the lockdown came, we had just came back from the World Series leg in Vancouver. So we had only returned, and then we went pretty much into lockdown. And the way the World Series is, it's a bit of a hectic merry-go-round, as in you're nearly always wanting to catch your breath. It's always very busy. So the initial period was just a break for players, just to go away and kind of review the last couple of tournaments and kind of take stock of everything they've kind of experienced, as was the boys' first year on the World Series. And then post that, we kind of, myself and John Farrell, our other Sevens analysts, kind of done a big kind of nearly almost like an end of season review, and had reports for coaches and players. And then we met weekly for a couple of weeks just to feedback that information. Other than that, though, little bits on upskilling, sharing footage and around feedback. I think we're very lucky in our environment that we have, between Johnny and the academy analysts and myself and John Farrell and Vinny and Keane O'Brien, we have a host of analysts who we can always bounce off and learn off each other. So it's been good getting together every two, three weeks, kind of talking about what we've learned over the last couple of weeks, or investigating any new software out there. So from that point, it's been really good and really exciting.
Yeah, from my end, the 20s were midway through their Six Nations when everything happened. So that finished up then. So there was nothing really for the 20s as such during that time, because again, they were back with their provinces. So during kind of lockdown for me, it was a lot of focus on the referees. So the referees had at least one, if not two, online calls every week with professional coaches, and then also with their own coach, Johnny Lacey. And we would have been clipping clips on a weekly basis for those meetings to try and help the refs upskill. We did like sessions then with sports code and different things like that on communication. So that was kind of a big part of lockdown for me, was getting to work a lot more with the referees than I had done in the previous couple of months. And then, like Alan was saying, we've had our own kind of analyst calls where we can upskill. So we'd help each other upskill and kind of learn from each other. So that was extremely beneficial. Then I've done a few other calls and been on a few webinars with other analysts within rugby, but then also outside of rugby, just to try and see what they're doing. So mainly in American sports, actually. So ice hockey is one of my kind of outside interests. So I've been trying to get in touch with a few ice hockey analysts to see what they do. So I've gotten to do that. So it's been quite useful in that regard.
Oh, that's awesome. Any NHL teams or?
No, I'm trying to get an NHL team, but not yet. They haven't replied.
Oh, well, good luck.
Yeah.
Great. So what is your guys' coaching trajectory or your goals for your coaching careers? Like, what do you kind of expect over the next 5 years?
Wow. I guess for myself, I just set myself short-term goals, and very much so was trying to get to an Olympics, which unfortunately has been pushed back for another year. But beyond that, I'm not really looking too much beyond that, Chris, if I'm honest. Obviously, you want, as an analyst, want to go and experience as much as you can. So we'll see where the future takes us. But kind of the goalposts are always changing. And at the minute, they're firmly set on trying to get to the Olympics first, and we'll see how we get from there.
Yeah, from my end, it's similar to Alan's. It's I think in the industry that we're in, it's very difficult to kind of have a 5-year plan or something like that, because coaching groups change, players change, so you just never know kind of from 1 year to the next where a team is going to be, who's involved with a team and things like that. So personally, I just keep trying to learn every day and try and progress as much as I can and just keep getting better on a daily basis, and then see where that takes me, really.
Great answer, John.
I wouldn't say I have a like an aim for 5 years' time, if I'm being brutally honest, but just keep going the way I'm going and see where it takes me.
So I've seen from some of my previous guests that coaching groups do change pretty frequently, but analysts seem to stay the same. I don't know if you guys have experienced that so far in your careers, where you've kind of maintained your positions while coaching staff have gone through some changes.
In the sevens here in IRFU, it's been the same group, because IRFU didn't have a full-time sevens program 5 years ago. So Anthony Eddy came in and kind of set that up. And it's been the same core staff since then. Thankfully, I'm still in a job. So I haven't experienced it yet, but you do hear of it. It is the nature of the business we're in. But hopefully I can stick around for a few years more too.
Yeah, like from my end, within the Irish setup, with the under-20s, there has been a change within the year and a half that I've been there. And then when I was in Leinster then as well, I started with Matt O'Connor as the head coach. And then he then was moved on, and then Leo came in and took over. So like I have seen a transition in it, and thankfully the analysts stayed the same. So yeah, myself and Emmett would stay in Leinster. And I think it's important though as well that that doesn't happen in terms of like the analyst goes, because in a way the analyst knows the team more than anyone knows the team. So if a new coach comes in, the analyst might be the first person that the coach will go to, because the analyst is looking at the team in great depth every week. So having the analyst there is very important as far as I know.
So guys, just to wrap it up, I always ask the same questions about, do you have any favorite coaching books?
A couple of standouts for me would be Start With Why by Simon Sinek. Just thoroughly enjoyed the book, didn't put it down once I started. And then a few others would be, I think one of your previous guests has said it, would be Bill Walsh and Score Takes Care of Itself.
Yeah, that's a great book.
Yeah, and David Epstein's Range is one I'm currently reading now. I couldn't recommend it more. So, yeah,
it'd
be my three, I guess.
I might struggle for three, but the one that I'm reading at the moment, I got from Vinny about a week ago. It's called Atomic Habits. So it's an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. So into it, like, it's hard to put it down, to be honest. It's very interesting, both for me professionally, but also personally as well. So it might not be really relatable to coaching, but I think you can relate it to anything, if I'm being really honest. So that's definitely one that I'd recommend.
What is it again?
Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Okay. Sounds great. Do you guys have, and this doesn't necessarily have to be on Twitter, but do you have three coaches that you kind of admire and follow?
To be honest, I don't really follow many coaches, if I'm honest, Chris. But I'd follow some analysts or sports scientists and stuff that put up a lot of like cool visuals and graphics and what they're working on. One would be William Spearman, who's the lead data scientist at Liverpool FC, puts up, shares a good bit on tracking data and stuff like that. It's really found that interesting. Another would be David Subter, who's an author and a professor of applied mathematics. He wrote the book Socratics 2, which is another, I'd probably recommend that book as well. Third one would probably be, coming back to my undergraduate degree and looking at education, would be Sir Ken Robinson. He's an author, but he's a education and creativity expert. He has a fascinating TED talk on school system and the way people learn. It's an area I'm really interested in myself. I'd highly recommend, if anyone had 20 minutes, just to Google Sir Ken Robson on TED, and kind of listen to his talk. It's fascinating.
Yeah, for me, it would be the three coaches I picked would probably be Leo Cullen, Stuart Lancaster, and Noel McNamara. The three of them are excellent coaches. They all have different kind of strings to their names. So, like, whether it be man management, how they coach on a pitch, previewing and reviewing opposition, like, they're all brilliant at all areas, but they all have their own way of doing it. Like, I've learned so much from all three of them throughout my career as an analyst so far. Not sure if you can follow Leo or Noel anywhere, but definitely recommend following Stuart on LinkedIn or else listen to a few of his podcasts that he's done. A lot around leadership and things like that, but definitely worth listening to. Yeah,
I follow Stuart on LinkedIn, and that's what I was gonna mention if you didn't, but you guys just missed an overlap at Leinster, right?
No, I was there when he was there. So he came in kind of maybe 2 years before I left. So got to work with him, and it was a fantastic experience. Yeah, seeing how he coaches on the pitch is amazing. He probably runs a lot more reps than the players do. So.
All right. So finally, I love getting the responses to this one. What is one cool or obscure fact about rugby that people should know?
I don't really have a fact, but I guess just how inclusive rugby is. I found, like, traveling with on the World Series, whatever, no matter where we go, we're always warmly welcomed. It really is a game for all, no matter your skill set, which mine was poor and I still played a little in school, or your size, or there really is a community feel to rugby. So that would be my kind of interesting fact about it. I'm not sure if that answers your question or not, Chris. But
no, yeah. That works. Community is great, yeah.
So my one would be that although the rugby game is 80 minutes, that the ball and play time totally baffled me when I started in analysis and actually looked at how many minutes the ball is in play for. So, like, on an average game, the ball will be in play for about kind of 33, 34 minutes out of an 80-minute game. So I think that's something that's quite cool or obscure maybe about rugby, is that the ball is in play for such a little amount of time, but yet so much happens in those 33, 34 minutes.
Great. Yeah, those are both new ones for me. I would have said about 34 minutes, so I think I'm lucky.
Yeah, you're spot on.
All right, guys, thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks, Christopher.
Thanks very much, Christopher. It was brilliant.
Right, cheers.